glad to see you this evening, and we are going to turn in the New Testament to the Epistle of James, chapter 5. The Epistle of James and the 5th chapter. And this evening we are coming to the conclusion of our studies in this book. So we're going to read together from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. James chapter 5. Let's pay close attention now to God's living and inerrant word. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our God stands. Pray for the help of the Holy Spirit that we might read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your truth. May tonight, O Lord, the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We pray that our thinking, our feeling, and our doing will be shaped by your truth. And we pray all of this in our Savior's holy name. Amen. West Point is duty, honor. We have obligations. Honor should sit for country. Not for ourselves alone, but for others. This it will give them the perspective they need for the heart. I wonder if perhaps we as Christians ought to adopt as we seek to fulfill our obligations as brothers and sisters, as a community together, one people, the church, the body, walk is a the answer is the scriptures principally teach what man is to believe and what duty God requires. Knowing our doctrine and living our Christian life, that obligations before God that give us a now, of the duties that God has given to us, one of the great duties of the It's a noble duty. Duty is a tremendous, tremendous privilege. We can easily trying to pray. There's a text we need to send. There's so many things around us to take us away. Let's look at James 5 this evening. Now, James himself was a man who knew a great deal in his own church prayer that he spent so much skin on his knees became insensitive. Like a camel's. I've even heard people say that he had heard to this duty and privilege of prayer. Well, as James brings his close, he reminds us of our solemn duty in this regard. Begins at home. You'll notice that we have a duty to pray for ourselves. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs or praise. The themes of suffering and prayer here at the end of this letter bring us, if you're with us and you remember back to the beginning of this series of studies, you'll note that in James chapter 1, this is where the apostle began. If you look there, you'll notice in verse 2, he begins with this: my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in. But how do you meet these trials with joy? How do you endure trials? God, do you get that wisdom of God? Is the way. He's going to deal with that in. Maybe emotional. Certainly that's a. With depression, anxiety, being over. From some kind of maybe doubts in going through those times when you wonder if when you pray there's a God. There's a time. The admonition to the suffering saint. It is him. That at the end of completely God, and our lives understand whether or not we are living in. If we don't pray, it's because we, if not explicitly, implicitly believe that we don't really need God that much. Where is the reminder of just how weak and how
children that they are.
But James moves on. And he says in the second half of verse 13, is anyone cheerful? Well, let him sing. No prayer, because it's our word directed to God. The thing, for example, alms, how do you use the prayer from brothers and suffering to be transformed into praise and joy? Now, it ends here. You need to pray for it. That as Christians, we should be self. Raise someone higher than you are yourself. This is the challenge. As we seek to lead you, we realize it has to be both deep and lead you to that state. Have God and the spiritual health that you have the wisdom and all to minister to those in need. So we begin with this spiritual self-care, if you will. If any among you is suffering, let him pray. If any is cheerful, we not only have a duty to request prayer. Verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And but they have received a number of interpretations. Let's look at the situation. Here is someone who's suffering an illness. That's the general word that's used, and some have interpreted this to refer to emotional or common way this term is used. It's translated here in the ESV, is any among you sick? Well, what time I see the word elders, I'm tempted to give a lecture on church. That every local church is to have a plurality of elders, and every time you find elders mentioned in the New Testament is always a plurality of elders. You're to call not just for one, but for the elders of the church. And what are they to do? What's their action? What you person that's non-controversial. I don't think what on earth does James have in mind here? First, is the proof text for the Roman Catholic sacrament of extreme unction. This is when the priest
for death.
Well, you'll note here that what James has to say has absolutely nothing. A doctrine derived not from this text, but from twisting the text and prepare someone for death. But James is focused
that they will recover. Why are they then anointed?
A couple. We even use oil that way today. Essential oils are a big deal.
Yes. Even they
powers would help him. When Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, what does the Samaritan do? Sees the legitimacy not only of prayer, and so call for the elders of the church, doctor. And that's wise counsel, medicine. That's grace, this universal. The mercy that God has given. What's achievable now through all of the advances that. And we should not pit prayer. Oh, I prayed about it. To see that. Nor should we go see the importance of prayer and our dependence upon God ultimately for healing. Integral as working together. I think there is another view here that commends itself to me, and that is that oil for the Spirit and so the anointing oil by the action that really has. One, it's an acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit's ultimately come from God. And so as we pray, we are dependent upon the truth. Oil, when it was used in biblical times, was used to set task. Did a priest, you anointed a king. And so, by this, the ill part, pray to be upon them, but through the fact of attention to the individual, as before God set apart to be an object of his. With oil. What's the result? Well, the result is that the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. Now, is get some oil and press it. This isn't a magic formula. In response to the prayer, oil here that magically combined with faith, it's who does it? home from the field, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. If you know anything about pancreatic cancer, it is pretty much a death sentence. Rarely do you hear of anyone pancreatic cancer. They call the elders of the church, and as they gathered around him and prayed over him, God responded to that prayer of faith. He intervened. The mission field. God things. Pray not will yours be done. Sometimes still answered by God according to his plan. Result is, should it please God, personally saved. There's a second result that James mentions here, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, notice that he has correspondence between sin and crap. Even the disciples of Jesus, when the Lord came to him, was born blind. No, who said something tragic like this could only happen if you or the parents who bore you were guilty of some great transgression? We should not always draw that one-to-one correspondence and say, aha, you're down with the flu. I bet you're guilty of something. Nasty person. That is certainly not right. But there are times when ill are self leads to illness, and the Lord uses illness as a means of chastening for sin. I remember one of my earliest young and as green as could be, and thankfully I was working with a godly seed. We've been called for, we need to go to a home to anoint. She was pretty much incapacitated. She was almost completely immobile. She was having a difficult time getting through the day. She had a young baby and was in a pretty... When we got there, her husband felt the death. That evening in the home, and I can still remember, that's many years ago now, along with her husband, God began to spring up from the sofa and dance around the living room, but we watched a great but over time until she back at all. But here's the interesting thing. As a result of that evening, God began, not just in her back, and she sat down with us and began to give us her testimony. Perhaps even years later, of how she had been mistreated in life. Treatment had let her become a bitter person. And that the anger in her had contributed to the stress and God began to deal with her sin, and as she began to God also began to work in her body. And to pray for ourselves, we have a duty to first part of verse 16, we have a duty to pray for one another. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray. Now, this statement. Around everyone telling about the sins in her life that God was dealing with. It is not to do. It is not godly for us to spill our guts to everyone. I'm convinced because, oh, I'm so angry and bitter with you that I need to go to you and confess that and get that dealt with. And then we should pray for one another. Pray. Now that's the beauty of prayer. But to encourage us, James focuses next on the power prayer. Look at the last part of verse 16. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore fruit. That power are prayer. Now, I didn't say these powerful prayers are not prayed by self-righteous, prayed by sanctimonious people, but they are first. All of our prayers in of every supplication that we bring to God is merits, finished work. And so it's righteous people who are heard because they are heard in. But this righteousness that we have by virtue of our union with Christ is righteousness out because sin is a barrier. Sin is a barrier because it keeps us from prayer. I mean, if you want to indulge your sin, you don't want to pray. But if you can stir up your life, barrier to lively fellowship with God, that it actually blocks your prayers. It prevents your prayers from really being truly heard. And we know that. Psalm 66 tells us this. The psalmist writes, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I in my heart, the Lord would not have." Truly, God has listened. He's attended to the voice of my prayer. Peter says the same thing when he writes 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those evil. Yes, our as believers, you'll come to confess our sins as a congregation before we offer our petitions to God. Because we block our prayers, nothing hindering our fellowship, or that would turn away the Lord's ear. Have an effective prayer life if we. But prayers not only. Liable to the same. Yet, this ordinary man historical. The king and it half year. And he got up on the suddenly he's come out like the eyes of a man. An ordinary individual. When in Luke 17 they said to him, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. People, if their faith directed to our Almighty God. Now, the duty concludes with a word of encouragement about the grace of correction. Let's look finally at verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude. Final two verses. But a condition. Walk in the truth and is brought to reality. Christians can wander from the truth. We don't want the Holy Spirit to convict us. We don't want anyone to correct us or to try to call us. We want to enjoy ourselves, to indulge ourselves in it. Sometimes Christians wander simply out of error. We're prone to error. Our understanding is not complete this side of glory. We have misunderstandings. We always know the right way to conduct our Christian ethic. I've heard Christians, well-meaning, sincere believers, spout some great heresies unknowingly. Sometimes Christians think this world. And people who are being, I sometimes have believed about something they've heard from a TV preacher. And what do I think about this? Or what? I'm dumbfounded how to answer, because my answer to their specific question needs about a 2-hour preamble to help them understand why it's actually a bad question, because the theology of the TV preacher is so skewed from the general thrust of Scripture. There's a lot of and so it's very, very easy for believers to wander from the truth. But if a believer wanders, do so with gentleness and with love to reclaim them. Sometimes done through friendship. Fellow believer, to warn them, to encourage them. Sometimes this is done through church discipline. But others have to admonish someone or suspend them from the Lord's table, or in the most tragic circumstances, even have to excommunicate to bring them back to the truth. Wonders and is from committing, remaining impenitent, losing out with God. Certainly, if turns for eternal death, and so bringing someone back from straying into a way of delivering their souls, multitude of transgressions. And so here is our duty, brothers and sisters, pray for the weak and to lead back the wanderer. That's our duty, but it is also our privilege as members of the body of Christ who strive for duty, honor, and church. Father, as we come to the end of these studies in the Epistle of James, we thank you for giving us this book. We thank you for its many practical applications of the gospel to our lives. Father, we pray that we might be people who rejoice in times of suffering, people who pray and get wisdom from you, people who know what it is to press on to Christ's likeness so that we live complete lives, integrated lives for the glory of God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing hymn, it's 629. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Let's stand as we sing. priests who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working through us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory now and forever. Amen.